Okay, cool, right? We're gonna do this. We're gonna do this with you and your, what kind of car are you in?
In a Jeep. I'm in a Jeep.
Okay. All right, you're in a Jeep.
A Jeep Wrangler.
Oddly enough, we're both toasty Wrangler. Warm.
Oh, you're toasty warm. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, we're good.
All right, let's go. Are we here? Are we in? Do I wave?
Yeah.
Yay!
Here you are. Here you are. It is fantastic. So your internet's dodgy.
Yes.
You're in your car. So now we better understand Nikki Mitchell.
Yes, now I know why Nikki was where she was.
Okay.
I'm trying to see if I can get me on the gallery to see us together. Do I not tempt fate? We're good.
I don't know. I don't even know how to tell you because I don't do it from my phone. So
okay. All right.
I can't help you out there.
Oh, all perfect. Right.
This is great. Look, we make it happen. We make it work.
We make it work across the seas.
Is this number 9, number 10?
Number 10.
This is 10.
10.
10. Well, you know, with 10 shows under our belt, we were bound to have a flub here or there. So,
right.
All right. We could just blame the weather. No, we can't because it looks great. So,
you know, I don't know what's happening with the internet. I think that might be all the work they're doing in my building.
Oh, yeah.
They're vibrating everything, like with the concrete, you know, they're breaking up, they're busting up the patio.
Oh, good.
All the patios. Oh, so,
okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're doing, there's a, like, where my backyard meets, where everything is adjacent, you know, like one behind the neighbor and then next to me and then adjacent, there is a school, Collingwood. And I think it's like, I want to say it's a primary school, like an elementary school. And somewhere, I don't know what they're doing, but they're working back there. So my bed, I don't know about you, but I cannot, no, you have air conditioning. I can't sleep with a window closed. Like it has to be open. Like I have to have some air circulating, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
First thing in the morning, I hear men's voices, radio, and, you know, hammering, drilling. You know,
right.
What is going on? It's so weird because you can't see where it's coming from, but you can hear it. So I don't know what's worse, that or when they have recess and the kids are outside and it sounds like they're in your backyard and it sounds like each one of them is being systematically murdered because that's all they do, just like yell and scream. So I was like, oh, wow, this is, yeah, this, I don't know, this is. So that was how I woke up, but thankfully it didn't, it's been going on for a couple of days now, but it's.
Well, I don't need an alarm clock these days because they are out there at 8 o'clock in the morning, busting up the patios.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, yeah. What happened to the permits? Like, didn't they used to have permits to start working at certain times?
Yeah, I think it's 8 o'clock in the morning. And then they're done by 4. Which is good for us for the podcast.
Yeah.
When the internet's working. So
yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know about the open carry laws, but are you able to drink in your car?
Probably not. I probably should take the keys out of the ignition or something, right? I think that's the rule, right? As long as the keys are in the
I don't even remember. Yeah, probably. But well, cheers to your rotten day, my friend. I got a
drink. What do you have? Jameson and a Coke. All right. I have something really cool and interesting, and I don't have the bottle with me because I left it upstairs when I rushed down, but I'm going to put a picture on our Facebook page because this is courtesy of Judy. This is the glass. It looks like a bourbon.
Yeah, kind of whiskey. Perfect color of brown. Perfect.
How is that? Right? For the people who are listening. So this is what this is. It's like really too dangerously good. This is honey. This is orange bourbon infused with honey. It is so good.
Like, that sounds fantastic.
It's beyond good. And, you know, I would imagine this would be nice, like warmed, like for, you know, like for a cold night, which we don't have yet. But
yeah, that's the basis for an excellent hot toddy.
This is so good. Like, I can't even tell you. Wow. So I needed this, and Judy went on a trip with a girls' trip, and they did a little camping, and they were actually visiting wineries, but they stopped other places, and so she picked up this bourbon. It's a little bottle. It's so delicious. The bottle is very pretty. I'm going to put a nice picture of it.
Oh, fantastic.
On our sites, on our social media. But yeah, awesome. So I'm enjoying this.
I love an infused something or other. Like, honestly, mm-hmm. You know, they, yeah. It went a little off the wall here with gins this summer. There was every kind of gin imaginable. So we've got our fair share of different flavored gins. And I think, you know, like I might have to mix things up a little bit and have a gin drink here and there because we've got so damn much of it. Like, I don't even know.
Like that.
We don't, wow. You know, get to drink all that much. There's really no occasions. But yeah, now I can actually say, like, I've got a reason to drink once a week at least. So
right?
right? So I've got a super special guest that just popped up and is ready to come in.
Yeah,
I can't. I'm going to let her in and then we'll have a little catch up. Here we go. This is okay. Katie Hall. Katie Hall, everybody. Dun, dun, dun. Again, we're joining. And there she is.
Good evening. Hey.
Katie, my friend. It's so good.
Hi, Katie.
Oh.
Hello. I know. It's so good to see other faces. Hi, JD. Nice to meet you.
Nice to see you. How are you?
Fantastic. We haven't seen each other in so long. I miss you.
I know. God. Since before lockdown. That's before, like,
right, yeah.
What, 9 months? That's ridiculous.
It's me. Crazy. Like, Jay, we used to, like, meet up at the pub and have a couple of drinks, like, all the time. And it was just...
It's, really?
Yeah, like, it hits home, you know? Like, it hits home when you realize just those little catch-ups meant, like, everything. Like, it's crazy.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Haven't had a cider since, Denise.
You haven't had a cider since?
No. Oh, I'm joking.
Man, you're good.
I haven't had many. I have been good, yeah.
Oh, wow. And so,
all right, drink.
Tell us a little bit about your lockdown conditions. Like, where are you at? What are you doing? Who are you with?
I mean, I'm lucky. Well, depends on how you look at it. I live in a big house. I live with my mum and stepdad.
Yeah.
In a fairly spacious house, and we have a big garden and things like that. And there's enough space for me to have. I've got a bedroom and a bit of a lounge area in that, and then I also have a separate office study space. I'm really lucky, and that's all to myself. And then I pretty much got a whole floor. Of my own, which is nice. So not even sharing a bathroom or anything. And then my grandparents live in an annex attached to the house as well. So there are five of us here. You know, so I've had to be very considerate of the fact that I live with kind of vulnerable people and kind of be extra cautious, I think, than I would be if I lived on my own, probably. But, you know, I'm local to Denise. I'm five minutes around the corner,
so
really. I know, so close and so far in the good old South London. But yeah, it's strange because I've not seen much of outside of this house since the end of March. So that is weird.
It is. It really does hit you at times. This morning I was catching up with some of the people that I used to work at the pub with, Christian and Carrie, you know, through text. And it's just, you know, it hits you in the gut. It's like, oh my God, we could all be hanging out. You know, it's weird.
Just the freedom to do it. I think sometimes it's not even that you would do it all the time, but it's the freedom that you could if you wanted to. And it's such a bitter pill to swallow because it's so important that we don't. And I am totally on board with that, but it doesn't make it any less hard, does it?
No. And I can't, I can't really fully appreciate how awful it is in the States to not be able to gather for Thanksgiving, you know, to get everybody together for Thanksgiving. Jay, are you guys breaking rules or what are you doing?
No, it's going to be just my immediate family. It's going to be my sisters, my mom, and, you know, basically that's it, because we don't really have too many cousins down here anymore. Anyway, a lot of people moved up north again, but we're staying home. So yeah. I broke a little bit of my rules this week. This weekend, I went for the first time to a restaurant since March. And I went with my mom and my sisters, and we went to Nino's, which is a little Italian restaurant.
You couldn't stay away from Nino's.
Couldn't stay away. And of course, the first place I go is Nino's. But that was the first time I actually broke that little rule, and we just went to dinner. But we had a baby shower in the family, and everyone was wearing masks. It was outside, and we still all wore our masks eating, except when we were eating.
It's got to be, like, I was just saying this, like, I don't know about for you, Katie, but when you do go out for, like, a walk, or if you have to run to the store or whatnot, and you have your mask on, you know, when it's, like, 9, 10, 11 degrees, you know, it's not a big deal. But, Jay, seriously, it's so hot there, and to have to wear a mask on top of, you know.
Yes.
I don't know if I could I would just stay home.
When you're in that sun. It's like, why did I bother to put makeup on today?
It's just going to melt.
Yeah.
Jeez, I think
that's the thing, though. You have to make those choices. Like, going to a family event now is like, right, can I bear to wear a mask for however long? We're going to have to do things outside. Okay, here it's the winter, so can I be that cold for that long? Or, you know, can I be that hot for that long in Miami? Yeah. And everything is loaded with these extra decisions and choices. And it just, the exhaustion, the emotional exhaustion of that is just, it's that's the thing that's wearing me out at the moment. It's like, you know, it's
the way
easier just
everything
to say, constantly. Yeah, I'm just not going to do it because there's too many other things to factor in. Like, okay, great, I've got a car, so I can drive to places, so that's great. I haven't got to take public transport, but all of these extra things that we, you know, took for granted, and it is exhausting having to manage all of that on top of, you know, whatever. Like, I have social anxiety, so kind of the burden of going out is already quite high. So it's really tough times, I think.
And you are working from home, correct?
Yeah, so I do some freelance work, and then I'm also doing a PhD, so I'm doing all of that from home. And that's, I've had good times and bad times with that. But I think it's just the case of now, like I said, getting really sick of the kind of seeing the same four walls. And look, my work needs to be creative. Some part of my PhD is writing, and it's just not inspiring sitting in the same spot day after day. You know, I'm like thinking, oh, my chair's not that comfortable anymore. I'm going to have to upgrade my desk chair. And I need, you know, just trying to be creative in moving my desk around or changing the seat that I sit in to read and do different bits and pieces. But I'm really, missing that freedom. I'm going to say that word again, to go out and like work in a cafe or work in the university library, or just have different spaces and be around other people working. I miss that so much. And it is quite isolating being at my own desk on my own, you know, for 9 months now. That's hard work.
Yeah, it is. It's getting to that point. Like, I have zero inspiration to do anything new. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it for me? Like, the podcast is pretty much all I could manage. Like, I haven't written anything. I haven't blogged. I haven't participated in anything. I haven't done, I mean, really squat. Like, I did join a couple of things that Donna was doing for Centerlink. Like, I wanted to be a part of, like, the Queer as Folk reunion thing. That was, you know, that was fun.
That was cool.
That was pretty much it. Like, I was getting things left and right about virtual pride and virtual this and virtual that. And the thought of sitting for more than a half an hour, you know, like,
it's really hard work. I find, you know, Zoom is, for me, it's a limited thing. If I can do it one a day, you know, minimize the amount of time. And I was hearing some people who have got the scientific evidence about it saying, like, it does drain your energy. It's not like a false thing. It's your brain is working extra hard trying to have a meeting on Zoom because it's trying to render people in 3D when you're seeing them in 2D because it thinks you might be in the room. And then it's sort of like, where do you put your eyes, and your attention's drawn all over the place, and all of these extra things that you wouldn't have if you were really in the room with someone. So it is draining because your brain is having to do more.
It makes you really appreciate a teacher, doesn't it? Mm. Like what teachers are going through with virtual learning, and parents that have had to, you know, step in and keep that going. I have so many teachers in my family, and I swear to God, I just, you know, I'm amazed that they're not cracked in half at this point. You know, it's crazy. It's not, but like, you know, Jay, I mean, honestly, you're lucky because you have that music, that outlet, you know, like you can
right.
be in your house, and I mean, and thankfully you get to go to your office because it's just mm-hmm. a family run business, but you know, you have that outlet where you can just pick up your guitar and like, get it,
you know. That's true.
You know,
and you know, I'm fortunate that I've had a couple of gigs where I'm doing on Zoom. So I'm I won't say Zoom live stream. So I'm doing Arts Garage this coming Monday, whatever the first is. Is it Monday or Tuesday? December 1st, I think.
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Okay.
That's going to be a live stream event. So the musicians will be the only ones in the building, and they're going to live stream it. It's a telethon fundraiser for the Arts Garage. So I'm going to be putting some more information about that up on social media, on Facebook and Instagram.
Is that like where people would buy a ticket to watch it virtually?
Yes, I believe it's $10 a ticket. Absolutely. And they're having artists from that have performed there from every genre. So I'm going to be doing the rock genre, and I'm playing solo. It's I felt badly I couldn't have the boys in the band with me, but they requested it was solo. I think that keeps it moving quicker because they don't have to keep setting up bands. Mm-hmm. It's going to be back to back performers, and That's going to be fun to do. And I'm going back in the studio next week to record Nothing But Faith, which is the song I wrote during the quarantine. And it's kind of about the pandemic, loosely. But so I'm doing that. So you're right. The music keeps me, it's an outlet, even though I'm not playing everywhere by choice. I'm not doing bars. I'll do outside events, but I'm not.
Yeah, you know what? That's just confusing. Because you have that idiot governor of yours who opened everything up in September because he's a Trump ass kisser. So he opened up the whole state in September, hasn't closed anything down.
Yeah.
We have indoor, you know, evening bars are open. So you technically, you know, because I mean, you're being safe, but
right.
You know, people, you know, are still going to bars and whatnot. And I read a thing that that your cases have more than tripled since
September. Right.
Wow.
He opened
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised because as I mentioned, we are a place where people are coming to get away from the cold this time of year. So they're coming from everywhere. And B, when people are on vacation, they tend to be more laxed and people think nothing can happen to them while they're on vacation. So I see it, you know, down the street from where I live. I've mentioned this probably at 5 out of our 10 podcasts so far. It's so annoying going around that curve where there's bars and restaurants, and because people are just now, not only are they not wearing the masks and they're doing conga lines and they're eating, they're just crossing the street wherever they want to. They're not going on the crosswalks. We have crosswalks. You press the button, the lights go on. They're just diagonally in groups. I mean, they're just totally reckless. So, I mean, that's not anything with the virus. It's just plain recklessness. So.
You know, I remember this like every, beginning in November, because, you know, when my aunt was alive, she was a snowbird. And while she was in New York, she would mail me, no joke, she would mail me a 3x5 card with her grocery list written, each thing very specific. Certain kind of ham, like Boar's Head ham, you know, Kraft American singles, saltine crackers, like everything would be written out on a 3x5 card. She would drop it in the mail so that I would get it, like, say, November 7th. And then she would be home. I would have about a week and a half to go get her groceries, put them in her condo, and, you know, get her place cleaned up and ready for her to come down. And that signaled that the snowbirds were coming. And from that point on, the traffic got worse. The restaurants were harder to get into. Everything would change. Like, you had 6 months of having the state to yourself, you know? And then all of a sudden, all these strangers infiltrate. And, you know, it's super weird. Like, you don't even really feel that in London, where that is such a huge tourist city. I mean, it is.
Well, London's like it year round, I think.
Never not like that. So imagine having it as quiet, you could hear a pin drop, yeah. You know, for 6 hours.
Right.
All of a sudden, it's like
that. I think that's going to be the case after the pandemic, because London is, for the first time in, you know, however long, is quiet at the moment, and no one's going in, and obviously not much is open, but you can walk around and not bump into anyone right now. And so it is going to be a shock to the system when people are allowed back. Yeah. You know, we're going to feel that crowdedness again.
Yeah, like all of a sudden, and it's going to be weird to adjust again.
Yeah, exactly.
Shoulders with people, and, you know, because, like, I'm a slow walker, so I always feel like somebody is going to walk up behind me and over my head in London.
They would as well.
Yeah, totally. Totally rude. By the way, do you see I'm growing out my Noel Fielding hair, Katie?
Yeah.
I'm looking
loving it.
Just watching the finale and decided, yep, that's what I'm going to do.
I like it. So am I getting darker? Because it's getting darker out. We did mention I'm in my car at the beginning of this, right?
The sun went down and not in the Jeep.
I'm in the Jeep. I'm going to try to put the light on or something. I don't know. How's that?
It's okay.
I have my Christmas tree box in the back.
Yeah.
Is this better?
Yeah.
No, you have it in front of it. Move over a little bit. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
So we got to talk about Katie. You have managed throughout all this to have a lot of little projects popping up.
Yeah, I think it's been the thing that's kept me sane, really, is a few opportunities arose, like, throughout the year at different times. They're all coming to fruition now, but that's been the thing that's kept me sane. Kind of small scale but really interesting projects.
Talk about the Hear Us Out, is that what it's called?
Yeah, this is so exciting. So
I've been reading up on it. I've seen their website and everything.
Yeah. So it's called Hear Us Out, and this writing development agency for the south of England received some funding to collect and tell stories about older LGBTQ people.
Older.
And it's part of
but not in a bad way. Older.
No. Older. experienced, mature. But it's part of a bigger national project to tell stories of older people around the country. But in the south, they're focusing on LGBTQ+ stories. And so the first round of work, which I wasn't involved in, was going and talking to people and collecting their stories and capturing these moments from people's lives that are really significant and interesting and tell our history, really, for the last 40, 50 years.
Is it mostly coming out stuff, or is it
It's a mixture. I mean, there is a lot of coming out, or a lot of what it was like to be young and gay sort of in the 60s, 70s, 80s. And then also some of the kind of living in the legalities of it. So experiencing things like Section 28 and kind of as the laws changed as well. So really interesting stories, and all kind of told very authentically from that person's voice and their history in their words. And then originally the idea had been that people would come and perform these stories live. So we'd take them out into the community, different community settings, but they're all done called verbatim performances. So that you're, as a performer, I'm listening to the story being said in an earpiece, and then I'm performing it So we don't learn the script. We're just telling the story literally in that person's words.
It's like drunk history, but serious.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. it's really cool because then you're connecting to the voice of that person and their words and their pauses and their silences and sort of their sighs and kind of capturing that and then putting not an interpretation on it, but just a performance of it. But because we couldn't do that out in venues, they decided to first of all do it as audio stories. So we all recorded a story that are up as sort of like podcasts. And then they wanted to do a theatrical production. So they've done what's called like a digital play or a digital production where the director wrote a script, bringing together elements of different stories into a longer narrative with a narrator through it as well. And then we all filmed performances at home. So we did actually film performances. We all had 6 or 7 pieces and we shot them around our houses, sort of in different places. So we had direction. The scenes are only about, you know, 30 seconds or a minute long. They're not long, but it was really cool to kind of do self-filming, kind of frame it, like direct sort of cinematography for ourselves. Yeah. It was cool though to think, right, how do I want to look on camera? I've got to get the lighting right. I want to get the framing right and set it up the scene.
Background.
Exactly. So be really kind of careful about that and thoughtful about that. And then, yeah, so the whole play is about 30 minutes. And it's about, I think there's about, I don't know, maybe 10, over 10 performers all taking different bits of the script, which is still of these people's stories. And they're still verbatim performances as well. So we do it the same where listening to the original person telling their story and performing it sort of through headphones to camera. So it's a really exciting piece of digital theatre. And it's going to be...
Obviously now it's going to be online, right?
Yeah, so we're launching it Saturday evening. There's sort of a premiere event where people can register for free to get tickets to come and watch it for the first time. And we as performers haven't seen it yet either. So it's our premiere as well. And they've had editors working hard on it. And I think there'll be extra bits like animation to kind of illustrate it as well. So I'm really excited to see it because I think visually it's going to be cool.
You have the website where people can check it
yes.
out. Is it only on Saturday or will it be available after?
I'm not sure how it will be available afterwards, but I know they're looking into a program of making sure as many people as possible can see it. So I don't quite know how they're going to do that. I think a combination of taking it out to other online events and possibly making it available online, but I'm not sure yet how, but it's free on Saturday. So it's the website is hearusout.live. And there's a few other events as well. So from tomorrow, there's an event every day. So tomorrow's is like creative responses to the pieces. And then there's a talk and there's a writing workshop as well. So there's a few events over the next few days, which are all free. And just, it's very exciting. And I think once it's out there, hopefully, you know, it'll get picked up and other people will want to show it as well. I think it's got so much richness to the voices in the stories that it needs to be seen by as many people as possible.
Oh, that's, I mean,
that's awesome.
It's a great idea, isn't it? Like, wow. And, you know, like right now is like the perfect time for something like this, but I love the way it's morphed, you know, from what it originally started as. It's, you know, it's morphed into something so much more.
Yeah, I think so. It's adapted really well. They've really thoughtfully adapted the original plan to what can be done now, but it feels like it gives it a bigger legacy because there's something there that will survive beyond the one performance.
Right.
You know, they'll be able to use it over and over again. Whereas if we'd performed it live, it would have been that and done. So, you know, I think it's, they've just been so creative in how they've adapted it. And it's been such a really nice project to be a part of as well. And I think for me, that's, as a performer, that's been just a really positive experience in this horrible year to do a really nice project with a really nice outcome with really nice people. Yeah. And I feel like we don't get to say that often enough. So right. It's made me think, right, that has to be the priority, working with really nice, creative people. That's what it's about.
I mean, that's literally how we met it. Right? Like, did
yes.
it? Did we,
yeah.
I shouldn't say that because, like, believe it or not, before I moved to London, Katie, I think we were emailing.
Yeah, you reached out to us and said you're moving. You did your podcast and you were moving and you were starting to connect with people. And it was really great to hear from you. And I think that's the thing is if you're out and about and a bit visible, you can make those connections and people do reach out to you. And I think I haven't done some of that stuff for a little while. So it's good to be doing something again. And I've really felt that joy of being involved in something that's in the community.
Yeah, because as well, you know, when we write, you know, when you're doing your own writing, that's lonely. That's like isolated. You know, you're focused, you're concentrated on what you're typing and whatnot, and it makes you block out everything and everybody else. But when you're doing something, when you're involved in something, a creative project, you do get, it's so much more social, you know?
I think that's it. And so the balance of doing more collaborative pieces and working with groups and, yeah, just being back out there doing things, I think is, this year more than ever, shows just how important that is.
Yeah, it is. I think that's part of the reason why I don't want to start writing something new, because I feel like it's just a whole nother level of isolation, you know. I mean, first of all, it has to be, but you know, I mean, well, it wasn't so isolated. Like, we would get together when we do a little writing group and
yeah,
bounce stuff off of each other. Katie's a fantastic writer, Jay, and Katie, yeah, something gone on with your poetry? Did you get
I've got a poem coming out in a really nice anthology that comes out for winter solstice. And it's like this really gorgeous collection of poems and songs and writing around the theme of time to hit on the 21st of December. And again, it's a kind of different kind of project, but it's another cool artistic project to be involved in. And then I've also got a story coming out in a lesfic anthology, I think, at the end of the year as well. So it's just great to be doing small pieces, I think, is the key here. Small, yeah, manageable pieces and finding homes for them. And again, not having to do all of that work on your own. The collaboration aspect of it is really nice, where the load is shared a bit. And someone else is coordinating it even better. You know, so I just have to rock up and take part and go home again. And that's quite a nice way to be involved. But yeah, doing small bits has definitely been another big feature of this year, not trying to do too many big things.
Pacing, yeah, you have to kind of pace yourself. Yeah. Jay, something you might not know here about Katie is that she was my editor on my books.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
nice. I got the first peek.
He's the smarty, but no, she was actually the one, like, she honestly was so encouraging. And
yeah,
and even when I like, when I first said, you know, I didn't know how to submit a book, you know, so Katie, like, thoughtfully, thankfully, was the one that was, like, submitting it. And she was always so nice. When something would get rejected, she would be like, reached out to these guys, sorry.
Well, yeah, but I knew we needed to persist and that we'd get somewhere. And
I gave, you know, up. Like, I literally gave up. Didn't,
wow,
that. And little did I know that Katie was out there shoving it down people's throats. And then, like, something hit, and out of the clear blue, she was just like, "We've got a publisher." Like,
wow.
Yeah. So
you know what? That's awesome to have someone on your team doing that for you, because as the artist, you can, it's really easy to get, you know, when the rejections start coming, it's easy to get discouraged. And when you have someone working behind the scenes doing that for you, that's a blessing. which I've never really had that. I've always been my people where I'm pushing. Joni's been helping me recently, but all of my touring with the military, all of that I did on my own. And then things, because I was always, as you say, she was like shoving it down people's throats because I was always submitting and always putting my music on different sites. Then I would get what I call divine intervention. And the Lord would smile upon JD and send me something like the Colts, the Indianapolis Colts halftime show. If I sought that out, it would have never happened. Right. That came to me. You know, I had my music on a site called Music for the Troops, and the cheerleader, one of the cheerleaders from the cult that wanted to sing my song, found it and contacted me. But I didn't go after that by contacting the cults and saying, hey, can I do your halftime show, you know, or do your cheerleaders want to sing my song on their USO tour? Like that, you know, that just came to me. So that type of thing happens, but when you have someone doing that for you, that's amazing because it really makes all the difference.
Yeah.
But you did the work to get it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
If you're the one that's doing the creative thing and then you have to do everything else, it kind of, like, as I say, it clogs your pipes. You know what
I mean? It does. It's draining. It's so tiring. It's much more effort than the actual creative work. And it requires so much sort of brain energy that it just depletes the creative energy, I find. And I think also it's easier to do it for someone else because you're not emotionally attached to it in the same way.
Yes.
It's not your baby. You can be more objective. You can feel the rejections and not take it personally.
Oh, yeah,
and I think, you know, definitely it's just easier to sell someone else than it is to sell yourself. It's hard to pick up yourself all the time. That's a hard thing to do.
Oh, God, yeah, it's so true. I feel like you gotta, it becomes all-consuming, you know?
Yeah, and it does.
Don't have, like, that little bit of break, you know, from it. And then you feel guilty if you take a break from it, you know? It's a never-ending cycle. So, yeah, you're right. It is better to work with someone. And I think, like, one of the most important things that I always find, too, is that you... When I say take a break, I mean, like, you got to have, like, some fun. You know what I mean? Like, you got to, when we do this and then we go and do the time machine talk, it's a nice break because it becomes, like, super fun. So
right.
You know what our time machine is? It's, like, when we can talk about, like, old stuff. Things that happen in the
world. Nostalgia.
Yeah. Nostalgia stuff. Right. So my pick this week was to talk about sitcoms from days gone by, you know, because everything, I think, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but reality shows fucked everything up.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, they I agree.
Fucked scripted comedy so hard.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can make a reality show on the cheap, everybody was doing it and they didn't. You know, they're like, it's a shame. It's a damn shame. Like, you're not going to find another Cheers or, you know. So I was talking about, like, this is going to be fun, Katie, because television was so, I'm so pissed we only have like 6 minutes, but television was so different over here compared, you know, growing up compared to like in the States. But I know that you guys got to see a lot of, you know, America.
Yeah, it did transport over. Yeah, we do get a lot of it.
But a few of my favorites were, you know, Jay, obviously, we were talking about Designing Women the other day.
Yes.
Designing Women goes down and is one of my all-time favorites, and it doesn't get it doesn't get enough credit.
It doesn't. And you know what? I was going to bring up Designing Women because we were talking about the tourists and how they're annoying. So, okay, when you live here, there was an episode, do you remember the one where Julia had people, she got on a tour of homes in Atlanta for the historic homes, and then she couldn't take the people, the tourists coming in, and she threw them out, and she's like, and she called them, she said something like, I want all you flip-flop wearing, gum-chewing, slurpee-drinking, baseball cap-wearing people out of my house. And I feel that way when I'm going around the curve. I'm like, these flip-flop wearing, gum-chewing, slurpee-drinking people with their surfboards.
That is, it's so timely. And I just love that about Julia Sugarbaker, is that everything became, you know, a monologue. And yes. A grandstanding monologue that you would remember for days after. Yeah. And I have to tell you, one of our Whiskey Rock Lounge subscribers, her name is Lisa Dilliman. She rattled off so many, and not only did she rattle off the shows, but the years. So she said, there's so many to choose from. I Love Lucy, 50s, Andy Griffith Show, 60s.
Yes.
70s, All in the Family, 70s, Laverne and Shirley, the 70s, the Golden Girls, the 80s, Everybody Loves Raymond, the 90s, you know, like, oh my God, she was like, she nailed it.
Yep.
But there were so many in that collage, in that picture that I put up there that I had to like look twice.
That was awesome.
Oh my God.
I love that collage.
Holy crap. Growing Pains, Family Ties.
Oh, I liked Growing Pains.
Growing Pains was cute. What a weirdo, Kirk Cameron.
Well, he's completely ruined it now by being a total weirdo.
That's a sin. That's a shame. The Jeffersons, Perfect Strangers.
Do you guys get those reruns there? Do you see those there?
Sometimes, yes.
Some of them.
Yeah. Like, Katie, I have to say that I've never enjoyed the Sony Channel more. Like, I watch Charlie's Angels and Days of Our Lives and all these.
Is that the place to be?
Yeah, they're just fantastic. But yeah, part of, I think, growing up was like 8 p.m., you know, like you just like sat down and no matter what day of the week it was, there was a good sitcom on.
Well, they're just comfortable, aren't they? They're just like a piece of comfort. To just completely relax to.
Until,
you know what?
When you could fast forward through commercials and stuff, right? They're 21 minutes long.
I know, they're so short.
What a formula.
You know what, Denise, though? You're right with the reality shows. Just to say this, it's, they call those people stars, the reality show stars. Where are they stars? They're like spectacles. And the more of the freak factor they can get, the more you're going to get on one of those shows.
Yeah.
But that took away with paying writers and people who are actually talented. Mm-hmm. You don't find writing and shows like the way those shows were, those sitcoms were.
I think we should raise a glass to those ones because we've got less than a minute.
Should raise a glass. Orange juice whiskey.
Katie, all right. Thank you so much for coming on and teaching us about Hear Us Out, because I think that's going to be fantastic, and congrats on all your work that's coming out.
Thanks for having me. And
it was nice meeting you, Katie.
You too. Congrats on the podcast and video podcast. I think you're doing a great job.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for doing this. Jay, thank you for taking it all the way outside and sitting in your car for this.
Dedication there.
That is dedication, commitment. You guys rock, man. Peace out.
I'll see you soon, Denise, I hope.
Definitely.
Bye.
Bye-bye.